I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome along, everybody, to Meeting of the Elders on the Cold Pop Podcast. This is our monthly show where we go back and look at what other people thought of our thoughts. Richard, I'm AJ, and today we are going to be going through the last... It's been a while since the Meeting of the Elders. It had to get delayed a couple of times, so we've got a couple of episodes
to... You got COVID.
That's true. We've got a couple of episodes to debrief. And if you want to get involved, if you're listening or watching to this, you can get involved by joining our $15 tier over at patreon.com/coldpoption. Become a cult elder yourself. You will be invited into a little Discord channel. And in that Discord channel, you will then, on a monthly basis, be invited to either send in some voice messages or write out your thoughts on the previous conversations that have made up the last month's worth of episodes. Richard, what are the episodes we're talking about?
Today we are talking... Yeah, that's a great question. Today we are talking about Leprechaun, Richard's Spooky Sounds Quiz, The Butterfly Effect, and of course, Who the Scariest, a Doctor Who villain ranking.
Nice, what did
you
nice.
Weren't involved in that episode, and we haven't really talked
COVID.
About. Yes, we know. God, stop shoving it down our throats. It feels like you're the government shoving the vaccine down my throat. But it was interesting. Like, how was it? For you? What was your COVID experience like? What was it like for you being on the other side of COVID?
I'd never had it before. This is the first official.
Yeah,
I was so sure you'd had it.
Because there was one time where I had to. Well, last time I had to do a podcast by myself was because you were sick, but I actually had COVID while I recorded that episode.
And I had the super flu that you made fun of me for. Do you remember that now?
I remember making fun of you, but I don't remember. I don't remember paying attention to you.
The super flu I had was a lot worse than COVID. That was like being on drugs. Whereas this was like the first day I just got really woozy, and then it was mostly just like coughing and spluttering for a few days. I guess the main difference I experienced, the difference between COVID and just a regular cold, I would say. It feels like it takes like maybe a day longer for me to recover than I usually do, and also like a week and a half later, I'm still clearing my throat quite a lot. Like I've been very fatigued in the mornings. Like I'll wake up feeling very tired, more so than usual, and my appetite took a week or so to come back. But that's the main.
What about
thing.
Your
that's
sexual appetite?
Couldn't have been rowdier, dude. I was sucking and or fucking while I had COVID.
Nice. And, but yeah,
what
so
do you, think, you... What do you think is going to happen, bro? This is a podcast topic and I'm trying to use it as preamble. Hmm. What do you think's going to happen with Kang in the MCU?
Yeah. What I was leading towards asking what you thought of the podcast we did without you, but...
Oh, no, that's a better question. Let's do this as a whole topic next off week. What are we going to do about Kang?
Okay, yeah. Solving the Marvel problem. One Kang at a time.
Yeah. The episode was good. I'm not a Doctor Who person, so I would have been pretty useless on that episode.
Well, we deliberately chose it for one that you weren't on.
Yeah. I guess I would have been like...
I probably would have been in a better position.
yeah. I can be a cult elder for that episode.
Yeah. Send in your thoughts.
Well, it's too late.
Well, here's 9 minutes of my thoughts.
It was great. You guys were hilarious. You guys were funny. Jess getting a lot of positive feedback I've seen as well.
Yeah, that's good.
She should fuck it, replace me. I don't know.
Yeah. What are you? She apologized to me when she listened back to the episode. She apologized to me because I made a very funny joke and she was so in her zone that didn't even register that I'd made a joke. And so
yeah.
If you're thinking at the time, that's weird that she didn't laugh at your hilarious joke, Richard. She has what since laughed at it. It was when we were talking about the empty child monster and how they have the gas mask. And I said that, like, yeah, children not acting like children is like a uncanny valley thing. It's scary. And I said, unless, you know, it's like young Sheldon and then it's hilarious. And she just completely breezed past it, didn't even react to it. And then was listening to it in the shower and came out and was like, your young Sheldon joke was very funny. So I just want everyone to know it's on the record. That was a funny joke, even though it may not have seemed like it at the time, because there was no canned laughter telling you when to laugh.
Yeah, that's the problem with.
Do you remember the Malcolm in the Middle ads? Single
cam podcast.
Yeah. Do you remember the Malcolm in the Middle ads where it was like, don't worry, you'll know when to laugh. And it was like, it was an ad for Malcolm in the Middle showing that it doesn't have canned laughter. And I remember they played an ad for it that was like, it would be like, Malcolm's doing this. And you know, and it said, and Reese, like, it had almost like Guy Ritchie style, you know, introducing the characters with their name on screen. And it spelt Reese, R-H-Y-S, which I'd never seen that spelling before at the time. And I was like, what the fuck is that word? Like, who the hell was spelling? And like, since that's like how I now know that's like how Reese Darby spells it. And that's a valid spelling of the name. But then they, after like a couple of days, when they reran the ad again, it was R-E-E-S-E, which is how I understood it to be. And so I was always just like, for years, I was like, what the fuck was that weird like typo they made in that Malcolm in the Middle ad? And then Reese Darby came to prominence and I was like, huh, you can spell it like that. So that solved a years old mystery for me.
And like you could have asked someone, but why? Who cares? It's not important enough of a thing. So it was something that you quietly struggled with until it was resolved
for 20 years now. Probably.
Yeah, yeah.
But the like, it's funny because I'm sure, like, if you knew someone named Reese who spelled it like that and you got the brief, oh, make an ad, you know, you got Reese, you got Malcolm, just, you know, put title cards up. You wouldn't even question spelling it like that.
No, and I think this episode of Meeting of the Elders should be called, he's named what?
It's spelled how? Yeah, have you got any other like decades old mysteries that you want cleared up?
No, but
I'm getting to a weird stage in my life to ask you the question and then interrupt with a tangent. But that like I'm now experiencing things where like I haven't done it in 20 years or I haven't thought about this in 20 years or oh god, it must have been 20 years since I did that.
Same.
And it's weird, right? Like I had a
from when I was 10.
Yeah. I'm not sure if these are like an international thing, but like, you know, like a lasagna topper.
Yeah.
It's like, essentially a little deep fried square of lasagna. They're quite nice, but they have like other flavors of those. And I was talking to someone.
Where is this going?
and they'd never had a lasagna topper. And yeah. Growing up, I didn't have that because I was like, oh, lasagna, gross, for some reason. I don't know why. And I didn't have them. So I would opt for the, like, cheese and bacon topper. Yeah. And this person who I was with, like, she'd never had a lasagna topper. I was like, we have to get you one. And then I was answering some emails or something like that. So I stayed in the car and she went into the petrol station to get us both lasagna toppers. And they didn't have them. They only had one, so she had it, and then she got me a cheese and bacon one. Was just like, oh, I hope you're okay with this. And I was like, yeah, I used to quite like this. And then I bit into it, and I had like actually like a critic from Ratatouille moment where I like flashed back, and I was like, oh my god! Like, if you'd asked me, I would have said, yeah, I've probably had a cheese and bacon one before. But as soon as I bit into it, I was like, I can remember the last time I had this, and it was when I was at Heaton Intermediate, and I was like, as I was chewing, I was like, I literally haven't had one of these in 20 years.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. I get that whenever I have a sandwich on white bread with luncheon meat and processed cheese.
Yeah, love that.
It's the meal that my grandparents would make for me. And so, or if it's on a white bread roll, oh, so good. Takes me away.
This sounds like a my dad works at Nintendo kind of story, but it's true.
My dad does work at Nintendo.
my sister had a friend whose dad, like I say now, like, you know, I would have said then he worked for Coke, but for Coca-Cola. It's like he might have worked for some distributor in New Zealand or something like that. But anyway, we were able to get a bottle of vanilla Coke like a week or two before it came out. And I remember it was like my mum was at work, so I think it was like a Monday night, and my sister bought this bottle home, and me, my dad, and my sister all had like a third of a bottle or a can of vanilla Coke before anyone else in the country. And every time I have vanilla Coke, I still flash back to that moment. Like, it's still such a strong memory. I can remember like the dim lighting of the room we were in, and just like I don't have vanilla Coke like all that much, but it is, and because I've sort of maintained it like that, having maybe once every 6 months or so, I'm still able to like flash back to that moment when I would have been like, when was vanilla Coke invented?
I reckon 2004.
I would say like 2002 or 2000 even.
Yeah, maybe.
Coca-Cola.
No, vanilla. It'll have been post 2001 because I'd moved to Christchurch when it came out. So it'll be 2002, 2003. Do you remember Fanta Spiders? They were like chocolate orange sodas.
Yeah. ice cream floats are what we call spider. We call ice cream floats spiders in New Zealand. But the although speaking of like getting older and vanilla Coke, merging my two tangents into one, I on one of my last days at work the other week, I went across the road, and I would quite often get like, because we had a vending machine at work, but they just raised the prices, and if you went across the road to the Suprette dairy convenience store, whatever you want to call it, they had like them in cans. The guy was really nice, and they're more or less the same price, if not slightly cheaper, but he also sold vanilla Coke Zero in a can, which they didn't have. And I got it because I was like, oh yeah, I haven't had vanilla Coke in a wee while, and went back to my desk, started drinking it. I got like halfway through and I was like, this is too sweet, I can't drink this, and I had to tip the rest out because I was literally like, My palate is becoming so refined that I can't even enjoy my sweet, sweet vanilla Coke anymore. I am currently drinking a Lift, which I'm not sure if that's like a... I have to imagine it's not like a universal drink,
I think,
right?
It's just New Zealand, yeah.
Yeah.
My vanilla Coke story is that some point after 2002, they briefly discontinued it, at least in
2007.
New Zealand. Yeah, and then it came back, and in a frantic, in my frantic excitement, I bought like a whole 2.5-liter bottle of vanilla Coke, and spent the weekend drinking it by myself. And since then, I have not been able to drink vanilla Coke.
Damn, yeah, Lift is only available in Australia, New Zealand, Latin America, Germany, Austria, Philippines, and Eastern Europe, and it's for us because it's like we don't have like what Americans would call lemonade, which is like not a sparkling drink and does actually taste like this is a sparkling version of what Americans would call lemonade. Whereas we call lemonade. Sprite lemonade. Yeah, we call old-fashioned lemonade, yeah.
They call Sprite what? Richard, shall we get into some messages, some correspondence from our cult elders?
Okay.
So I'm going to read Cheese's message on the Discord first. This is what Cheese has to say. On Butterfly Effect, Cheese says, I had a very similar experience as AJ. Saw it young, thought it was super edgy and cool. So you also had a similar experience to Richard. Watched it probably many times.
People love to just... To
pretend
only...
like you weren't part of the anecdote.
Yeah. People always do that. It happens sometimes where people are like, oh my God, that was so funny what AJ said. And it's like...
I had nothing to do with
it. I said that.
Yeah. Yeah. Get better.
I'm so fascinated by when people mix up who told a story or who like something like that. That like Yeah, I don't know. I still imagine people like not knowing which one is which of the two voices. I listen to podcasts.
Even though there's a video.
Yeah, exactly. But like the two in the think tank that we mm-hmm. guess the Andy and Alistair who guest starred on our Scooby-Doo episode, it wasn't until we met them for that Zoom call that I realized I'd had their names wrong the other way around the entire time. And I still, in my head, default to the other way around.
Very confused. They've got very different voices as well.
Well, that's the thing. And I think it's that, like, Andy has, like, a sillier voice. And so I thought he would have the sillier name. And in my head, Alistair is like a crazy name, and Andy.
Yeah. All right, Cheese continues. Watched it probably too many times. Loved his college roommate. The sequels sound fascinating and awful at the same time. They are, he was. on Richard's spooky sound quiz, Cheese says it was fun, then said it's always fun to have Jess on the pod regarding the who's this,
who's the scariest. This?
Leprechaun, Cheese says, never seen any, sounds interesting. If I was only going to see one, which one would you recommend? And I thought about this question a lot today, and I reckon I would say Leprechaun 3.
Yeah.
And I know Leprechaun in space is maybe a bit more tempting, but the like that's like... That only works, I think, if you've seen other Leprechaun movies and you can be like, it's funny that now he's in space. Because if that was the only one you'd seen, the fact that
you'd be like,
of
course he's in space.
He's an alien.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on the spooky season, Cheese says, I love Halloween and decorate with skeletons and things. This year I got zero trick-or-treaters, which was depressing. What's your favorite candy? I really like... fruit gummies of any variety I could get pretty. I really love purple fruit bursts are probably my favorite candy. Oh, yeah.
I like a little bit of tang in my like a fruit thing, but like something citrusy usually I quite like. If we're going fruit bursts, my favorite is lemon lime, which is considered like the dud flavor. I don't like it's objectively
the
best
flavor.
One, but the
it's not it, purple's the best one, but I respect what you're saying.
Like quite often, like, I can always get the lemon lime ones, the green ones, because they're always left over. Even though it's like, I borderline don't like any other fruit bursts, but I love those ones.
Banana is so much worse than lemon lime.
Yeah, you have a hang up about artificial banana flavor, though.
Yeah, I think it's sin.
Yeah, I was going to get you some banana flavored syrup and making milkshakes.
I would have thrown it away. I don't really drink milk either.
Yeah. I just, like, when you give someone a present, that's just, the present is the burden of throwing this away.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like when people get me Santa gifts, it's like, your prize is I have to walk to the rubbish bin. Like I'm totally fine with, and I try to make this known without sounding like a dick each, like, Secret Santa season, is that it's like, I am happy with a, like, a girly mug that's like, oh my god, that's so funny. Richard's a boy. He's drinking out of a mug made for girls.
This is insane.
Yeah, that's crazy. It still holds liquid. I can still drink out of it. Or you put something that has, like, a funny slogan on it, whatever. But it's like, if you are just getting me something, like, I got given, like, a G-string once. And then I left it at the house that we did it at. And the person who got it for me was so offended that I, like, didn't like her gift because she thought I would find it so funny. And I was like, yeah, but what do you actually expect me to do with this?
I won a Lynx Africa pack at a show that I went to last year. And I took it and I was walking. And this was a show put on by my friends. So they gave me this thing as a prize. And as I was walking home, I was like, oh, I've got a lime scooter home and I don't have anything to hold this big Lynx Africa pack. So I just threw it away. Damn. I just threw it in a bin because I was like, I'm not going to use it. Yeah. And I'd take it home just for the gesture. But yeah, no, a couple Christmases ago, my flatmate got me slippers for Secret Santa, and it was the best gift I got that year.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
Yeah, Secret Santa's a funny one. Like, this is my other big thing, and I'm sure I've talked about this before, but it's like I understand why people do this, but PSA, anyone listening out there, do not buy me a pop vinyl. Like,
yeah, don't buy me a t-shirt with a funny joke on it.
Yeah. When have you ever seen me wear a t-shirt like that? Like, plain t-shirts, fantastic. Socks, great. I need some new jeans, great. But if you're buying me a pop vinyl, all you're buying is storage space at the back of my wardrobe. I have between half a dozen and a dozen pop vinyls sitting at the back of a wardrobe because I feel bad throwing them out. But like... And like I will say that it's like, okay, you get like a, say, like a Walt and Jesse, and it's like, okay, that's like, you put them together and that's like a little display or something like that. But like for a Secret Santa one year, someone got me Poe Dameron. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, because you like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Well, I think anyway. Yeah, I've managed to dodge being given a pop vinyl for all these years. It's probably more because no one wants to give me a gift.
So that they want to give them to me, and this is how this is the thanks I give them.
There was part of a younger version of me that absolutely yearned for something like pop vinyls.
Yeah,
but they were always too expensive. And I remember thinking once, like, if there was like a $5 like pop vinyl equivalent, right, that was just pop culture characters represented in some fun idiosyncratic way.
Yeah,
like
I love,
and they
the
were
little,
$5, I'd get them I'd get a new one every day.
The Lego blind bags.
Oh yeah,
those are good fun. Jason and I get those every now and then.
Nice. Alrighty, well, we've got another message from the Bliss My Dog Effect. This is what they say about the previous few episodes. Hey, AJ and Richard, what to say? Gosh darn it, I don't know what to say. Maybe I'll ask some thought questions. Did they mean to write tough questions?
No, we may never know. Thought experiments.
Okay. Number one, do you think that the time travel rules for the Butterfly Effect films were too complicated? I thought it was rather baffling that they opted to go a route that limited the possibilities of the concept. You've sort of covered the Treehouse of Horror Time and Punishment episode, and that did the concept much better without an arbitrary limitation. Surprised it wasn't mentioned on the podcast. I just don't get why the diary even needed to be a thing, and it feels like a device that was written in to solve a larger story issue rather than the natural way the concept of the Butterfly Effect is usually portrayed. Rather, it's this some rando's diary and stuff that happened on that day effect, which is to say, it's so annoying that the film steals its own ambition from itself, you know. Really, think a very valid critique of the Butterfly Effect. In terms of the diary solving a problem, I don't know if it's a problem, but you definitely come up with guy can go back in time and Butterfly Effect his own life before you figure out how he can do it. Like,
yeah,
that's
and you,
not the
you
first
need
thing
it,
you come up with.
I feel like, I mean, like, I get where Bliss is coming from, and I don't disagree. I don't think that Bliss's opinion is wrong or wrong for thinking that, but I disagree. One of my favorite parts of the Butterfly Effect is the limitation on the time travel, and I think it's a lot more fascinating. Like, to me, it's a lot more fascinating having these like nexus moments throughout your life that are these turning points, and like in something like Everything Everywhere All at Once, it's expanded to it's like every decision you ever make branches a new timeline. But yeah, I quite like the idea that it's like the diary you wrote because of the most important moments of your life, you can only go back and change those.
Sure, but he then goes back and changes it by watching a home video.
Yeah.
So that tells me, and if we're to believe the sequels take place in the same logical universe, there are multiple ways of doing it. So if I was to pick on the diary at all, I would say that he has a lot of other options available theoretically that he doesn't utilize.
Yeah,
and
I think
he never did because he doesn't have any more blind spots.
Yeah, I think the film, exactly, the blind spot thing. But yeah, I think the film ends up betraying it. But if it is just the diary, I quite like that. But yeah, I mean, like Bliss is right that it's like doing the film stealing its own ambition. That it's like, yeah, it's just, I mean, it's a film with famously light internal logic.
Bliss goes on, what do you think the next big movie monster archetype will be? I recently saw Five Nights at Freddy's, and while the movie itself was rather weak and not scary, I did see potential in the animatronics come to life and murder you idea. I think of this as in light of the Leprechaun and the bizarre idea that someone in 1989 or so thought, hey, we can turn leprechauns into the big into the next monster, which is quite the thought. So yeah, what creature or concept do you think will be the next true horror icon? These things usually are responses to changes in the world. The, you know, crack.com blew my mind when I was 16 and I watched their After Hours video about how whenever Republicans were in power, you got zombie movies, and whenever liberals were in power, you got vampire movies, because that's how the other side see each other. The liberals see conservatives as dumb zombies, and so then you have, you know, you look back at the major zombie movies, they all happen during conservative governments, and conservatives
I think you're the wrong way around when you said it the first time, but yeah.
All right. The conservatives see liberals as like lustful, blood-sucking freaks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's generally how it goes.
It is interesting. I think that the next big thing, and I think Five Nights at Freddy's is like, even though it kind of predates it, is like an interesting entry, but I think that like AI and... like, that's going to be the next big thing. I mean, like, Mission Impossible 7
already.
Terrifying. I mean, you said the thing about Joe Biden said he's, like, now more scared of AI. But he... yeah. But, yeah, I think that, like, any ideas with, like, AI or things taking on a life of their own is, like... I mean, it was big. You know, you think about stuff like Skynet in, like, the late 80s, early 90s. And I think that, yeah, as the internet was coming out, that there was... a few movies like that that are like, what if the internet gets too smart? And I think if we're looking at it like in a cyclical nature, like you were saying with the zombies and vampires, I think that AI being the next big boom in technology and, you know, yeah, like in technology will be reflected in our horror movies. The other thing as well is that like, we haven't seen, I mean, there's a video essay in here that I'm sure would, you know, refute this, but I think that, you know, we're seeing claims, seeing how COVID would impact it. And I think it's like, we probably have seen, not that I can necessarily think off the top of my head, but like themes of isolation and things like that appearing in horror movies because it's preying on the real horror we felt for a few years.
Oh, and I mean, yeah, there you go. Like, some kind of illness being... like, I could see illness being a big thing in the next... give it another 2 years, there'll be a lot more... like, similar to how, like, there were no 9/11-like movies in 2001 or 2, but then they started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
I think the big, the next big things you'll be AI, some kind of virus or something that preys on that, and also like capitalism.
An AI virus?
Capitalism, like a big one that like, I mean, like most sort of prominently in like Glass Onion of like the emperor has no clothes of an Elon Musk type. I think that there's a lot of people seeing the downfall of Twitter as a platform and taking notes.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, climate shit probably as the world gets worse. I would regard Five Nights at Freddy's also as sort of like in the camp of like creepypasta or internet horror. And I wonder if internet horror is on its way out or is it still got another boom coming? Because I think that when internet horror was big, the people who were consuming it were too young to make movies. And so as we see more young filmmakers emerge, I think we might see more creepypasta. And we have. It's just yet to blow up. I think things like It Follows and...
They follow,
things like that. There's even been, how many creepypastas have been adapted by now? It used to be a novel thing. Now I feel like it happens pretty often.
It's getting them to shut up. That's the trick. Exactly, I think that as well, like actually one of I know your favorite YouTubers, Kidicarus, uploaded a video yesterday about the sort of 2011 to 2014, like early to mid-teens, like the rise of like viral horror games. Yeah. And so like Five Nights at Freddy's, Slender Man, Amnesia, all these sort of things. And how there are examples of like horror games before that and since then, but there's like a very specific style. And like the video sort of goes into that, like, why have these fallen out of fashion? I can't tell you why. I didn't make it through the whole video, but it's interesting that, yeah, like there's, I guess it's as reaction YouTube was blowing up that it's those kind of horror games that make for good reactions. And then, yeah, I think that it's that kind of thing that we might, like you're saying, see the film evolution of that era of gaming.
Well, because horror movies have always been about like what the culture is thinking about. What the culture has been thinking about is the AI revolution, the new world, you know?
Yeah. The Cult Popture Podcast.
The Cult Popture Podcast. All right, we've got some voice messages here, Richie Roo. We've got three from two people. So, the first one we're going to listen to is from Vinny. It's called Double Rainbow Across the Sky.
Alrighty.
First off, let me put you guys on blast for not recognizing Leprechaun Origins star Dylan Postel. How could you guys forget his transformative role in Muppets Most Wanted as, let me double check, Prisoner Number 1? So, let it be known, Dylan Postel, two franchises covered, Ice-T, only one franchise covered. Suck it. Anyways, Leprechaun Origins is shit, but let me tell you all how this is probably one of the worst cases of Nepo babies getting a job that's ever been seen in the film industry. You see, as part of WWE storyline, Dylan Postel, aka Hornswoggle, is the illegitimate son of one Mr. Vincent Kennedy McMahon, owner of WWE. Let me explain. In late fall 2007, a storyline was proposed how Vince McMahon, owner of the company, was being sued by this anonymous woman for unpaid child support for an illegitimate child that they sired. Now, shockingly, Vince didn't really deny that he used to be around with a lot of women back in the day and how it's very much possible that he has an illegitimate child back then. Oh, scary to think about all the new allegations that have since surfaced since this incident in 2007. But let me say how this storyline was like this very big thing. It was, you know, covered a lot of minutes on a weekly television show. Instead of wrestling, we would get this storyline. I go, who's the child? Who's the child? it's a wrestler who works for WWE. Who is it? Who is it? And when it was revealed to be Hornswoggle, it was hilarious because Hornswoggle is a caricature of a leprechaun. He didn't even speak English at the time of it was revealed that he was Vince's son. It was this man, this little person, Dylan Postel, who played Hornswoggle, who would just run around and go, ah, ah, ah. And that was his character. And at the time of reveal of him being the son, it was like, oh my God, we're going to have weeks of nonsense of him just speaking gibberish while Vince has to deal with this new son of his. Ultimately, it just kind of faded away as most big WWE storylines go, where we just kind of never talk about it again, that this was this huge revelation, this new person in the McMahon family is this leprechaun man that would mostly live under the ring and come out in the middle of a match and just cause nonsense. Worst example of Nepo Baby in the entirety of the film business.
So, you're telling me that the little person wrestler who played the leprechaun in Leprechaun Origins in WWE was a leprechaun, but then they didn't use that in the film. They just barely showed him on screen and he was like a little demon. That's so weird. That makes me even more mad at
this. That's like hiring Benedict Cumberbatch to play the Grinch, but getting him to do an American accent.
That's exactly what it's like. Oh my God. How interesting. Alrighty. We've got our next message here is from Dan from Hawaii. Let's get that playing.
Yeah.
Aloha also means hello. This is Dan from Hawaii calling in to the Cult Elder segment to talk about Leprechaun and the Spooky Sound Quiz. I want to start off by saying that the Spooky Sound Quiz, or whatever the official name was incredible. I thought it was genius. I thought it was great. A bit of a downer to end on the politicians, but that was spooky. You did get me. And I'm very glad that I listened without driving because some of those jump scares actually got to me. I'm a very chubby person. I don't remember how easily startled you two are. And this transitions nicely in what I want to talk about with Leprechaun is love the Leprechaun episode. Really interesting. You really speed through it. It feels very much like an old episode. One thing I have to ask, which you guys don't really talk about. You more talked about the, you know, like the fun of it, the camp of it, the plot. But do you think that people sincerely find any of this actually scary? Because when people talk about Leprechaun, I don't really hear people talking about how scary it is. And I watched it with a straight face, slightly amused by some of the camp. But overall, like, do people find this original movie scary at all? Like, it's a horror movie where people actually, I mean, besides kids, did anyone get nightmares from these? I don't know. That's what struck me most about it. And I haven't read one of these on air in a while, but I did write a haiku for Leprechaun. That's what I do for every movie I see, including the movie Monster, which AJ mentioned on pod about that just hit the film festivals, the new Corrieta film. Amazing, amazing movie. Everyone should see the new Monster coming out. It's very Rashomon-esque. Anyway. I watched Leprechaun before that, and here's my haiku review. They really base this off cereal TV ads. Fuck you, Lucky Charms. Yeah, that's pretty much what I want to say. I'm really stunned by how much I did not like the first one. Slightly relieved to hear that is not the best one, despite what everyone else said. And I appreciate the breakdown, so I don't have to watch all those movies. Although, speaking of having to watch all the movies, the Cult Popture Popcorn Bowl, which I run, is doing another watch-along. We did a blind watch-along last time we did it for Paranormal Activity. Many of us did not have a great time with it. and this time, we're committed to the Barbershop series. I'll be watching all four of those, and so will a lot of the Discord. So be ready for us to have opinions on those. Aloha also means... goodbye.
Right. What a funny franchise to have a watch along with.
Yeah.
These, like, I don't know. I haven't watched them yet, but I've seen them before. It's not the most exciting content to have a group yeah. watch with.
A few things I picked up on there. One, the mention of the Spooky Sounds Quiz. This hasn't come up, but at the end of that, I offhandedly joked that for the outro music, I would cover He's Back, The Man Behind the Mask by Alice Cooper. And I had a bit of time when I was editing the podcast, and I did it. And not a single person has mentioned it. And when
not
I was doing it,
not a single person in the Discord. And that's the bite back of podcasting is like you provide hours of entertainment to people, and they might even love it, but it doesn't necessarily mean they'll say anything.
Yeah, like I was. We have quite a lot of interaction with our fan base. And I was so proud of that. I thought it was so... even like the quiz,
like,
I put so much work into
that.
Bit More
Cheese is going to love this, you thought.
Yeah, and just and like not a single person mentioned it. And my heart was broken, I tell you. And I was like, you know, for one of my first like big podcasts that I was editing myself, I put a lot of work into it. And I was like, oh man, people are going to be like demanding the full version. Like, oh, it's going to be so funny. I played it to Jess and we were both like crying, laughing. And I even asked someone about it like a week later. And everyone was just like, oh yeah, we just didn't say anything.
This is so weird. Like, we're just this is the curse of the mid-size audience podcast. I think that this is something that maybe becomes more obvious when you're editing them.
Yeah.
Because I had stuff like that every week, man. You just gotta be like, oh well.
I don't think you ever put that as much effort into it as that. I put so much effort into that. I think people would have mentioned it if you did it.
Well, they actually did mention it in real life, but they thought it was me.
Yeah. I'm needier than AJ.
You always say that, and I want that on the record. Like you don't want anyone to give me any appreciation at all.
I want it to be like a one-to-one.
AJ, so it'll be like AJ's joke was real good or whatever, and you'll just immediately be like, "What about me?"
Yeah, I think that is proof that I'm needier than you because you don't do that.
Well, because you wouldn't like it if I did it.
Yeah, because I'm so much needier than you.
I'm going to start doing it.
No, don't. I'm too needy.
On the question, is Leprechaun scary? I never realized till right now that I don't think it even occurred to me to be scared while watching these movies.
I think people...
They're not scary at all. You're right
there. Yeah, I think people maybe get like squeamish with them and stuff. Like stuff like the belly expanding
there's good
golden
deaths, but yeah.
Yeah, and I think that kind of passes enough for a horror film to be like, like that if you wouldn't necessarily be okay with your young children watching it just because of the gore and stuff like that. Like,
Yeah.
I don't think it's going for like any kind of real tension, but I think those creative deaths and the gore and the like, what's called the like, joy that Leprechaun is taking in these things, I think that's where the horror comes from.
We got one last message also from Vinny here. It's called "Can't Believe It's Not Butterfly Effect." Let's get that playing in 3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, so this is me doing my fucking job and telling you all about Wild Wild West the Steel Assassin.
Yes.
That's right. Your boy did it. Well, kinda. I found out this is abandonware, so it was easily accessible to get, but it's very hard to make run on a very modern laptop. So I was able to almost get to the title screen before it just crashed every time. So I will supply a screenshot of the title screen, and that's it. I then watched a YouTube Let's Play on it from a man who did not speak English, but I can tell you that it is a point-and-click adventure that is typical of the time, you know, point, investigate this, shoot this, blah, blah, blah. And I fast-forwarded to the end of the game where I figured, oh, there's going to be like a point-and-click giant spider fight.
Yeah.
Wrong. It was just you investigating some guy's office, then you eventually find the evidence, and then the guy got arrested. Cutscene of the characters from Wild Wild West. Don't know their names. They're on a train, and they're kind
of
laughing, and the credits roll. So yeah, this is a nothing, no good game. It's from South Peak Games. Looking at their output, they put out a few Animaniacs titles, a Tiny Toons title, a Dukes of Hazzard title, and as the Wikipedia says, quietly dissolved in July 2013. So yeah, this game is nonsense. I couldn't get it to run on a modern PC. It looks like trash. And yes, I did my job. Now let me delete this trash app off my laptop and get back to better work.
I was like, oh, he's listening to the Cult Popshire podcast for a second.
That was of course a reference to a Patreon episode that of Generic Movie Podcast we did on Wild Wild West, and we talked on that episode about speaking of character names, the fact that it's a buddy movie but it's only named after one of the characters. It should be just Wild West, but Wild / West.
And Wild is spelled W-Y-L-D.
Or W-I-L-D-E, like Oscar Wilde.
Yeah. What are you a point-and-click kind of guy?
Get this, my mum was a point-and-click kind of guy. The only video game she'd ever play would be point-and-click. I love point-and-clicks. They've kind of gone away, and you go, oh, why did they go away? And then you like look at the history of them and they got just real boring and stupid. That's basically why they went away.
I like the Curse of Monkey Island is like one of my favorite games. And when I got a PC for the first time, I immediately like downloaded Steam just to buy it and play through the whole thing. And then I got on some Steam special or something like that, like the Monkey Island pack, and bought all of them. And I just like cannot get into any of the other ones. I started playing just the other day Harlan Ellison's I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream, which is a point and click based on the short story. And the short story is fantastic. And we're talking scary. Like, that's fucking scary. But yeah, I got through like, I mean, it's not very long because the game's from the very early 90s. But the... Yeah, I got through maybe... I think I got through like 2/5 of it. You play as like 5 different things. And then I just got to one bit that I couldn't work out. And I was like, well, bored of this. I also famously took like 13 years to finish the point-and-click game Mission to McDonald Land. And then when I finished it, I realized like 13 years later, I recognized the final world you go to. And I was like, oh, I must have finished this at some point 13 years ago.
I used to be really into a lot of point and click games. My like one of my earliest memories is my mum and brother playing the Discworld 2.
Two different people, right?
Yeah. Playing Discworld 2, and I remember The Road to El Dorado had a point and click game. Yeah. Casper, I think, was a point and click game. There were these really good point-and-click games on PS1 called Broken Sword, and they were, like, the peak of, like, the object you have to get, you will never guess how it's supposed to be used. It's like, how do you get the cat out of the tree? And it's like, you have to get this character drunk so that they drunkenly drive into the tree and the cat falls out. You know, shit like that. It's not like logical solutions to the puzzles.
Yeah, there's one where it's like, in Curse of Monkey Island, where you have to get a bit of gold. And this, you find a guy with a gold tooth, and you have to like give him a jaw because you find he loves candy or something like that. So you have to give him this jawbreaker you find on the floor of a barbershop, so it makes his tooth loose. And then you have to like suck a helium balloon in front of him so that he gets jealous and wants to do it too. And then you give him a piece of gum, and it like, because if you don't give him the helium, like, and you try to grab the gold tooth out of the bubble gum bubble, he notices interest. You have to fill it with helium so it floats out the window with the gold tooth in it, and then you have to pan for gold outside to find it.
What game is this from?
Curse of Monkey Island.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Mission to McDonald's Lands.
There's also, hey, like, in there as well, there's, like, a bit where you're trapped inside of a snake, and you can't touch anything. You can't grab anything. You can only use what you've got. But, like, the items scattered around outside the snake are, like, anti-snake spray, like, snake shears, like, these different things that would just help you out of the situation. It's such a fun game.
Yeah. Well, hey, Richard, I say we adjourn this meeting of the elders. Thank you so much for all your correspondence, everyone. We look forward to doing it in a month's time. Tune in next week for our episode on the Barbershop / Beauty Shop series.
The Barbershop Quartet.
Did you make that up?
Yeah. I mean, there's 4 films.
That's so good. Wow. We're going to be saying that 1,000 times. tune in for that. And if you liked this episode, then please consider following us on Twitter or Instagram or X. You can also jump in the Discord, tell us what you thought of this episode, or you can join our Patreon.
Why you think I'm funny, but not why AJ is funny.
I don't want to know.
AJ doesn't need to know. He's confident.
I'm not trying to come across bitter. I just do not think of myself as confident at all. And it's like, my God, all right,
AJ.
I guess I'll have to pretend to be confident so that Richard can get his warm fuzzies, and I'll just have to pretend like I've been like
pretending
to
be confident on this podcast for what, like 7 years? And all it's gotten me is
openly not confident.
Yeah, and it's gotten you so many more compliments. I'm owed 7 years worth of compliments, guys.
Guys, can we get this done, please? Like, let's do it all in one afternoon, okay? Check that out. And one other thing you get on the Patreon if you sign up as well is that if you pay $5 or more, you get to give us something to talk about in the post-credit scene, which is coming at you after this music ends. Thank you for listening, everybody, and we'll see you on the flippity flop. Well, Welcome along, everybody, to the post-credits scene. This is a segment at the end of each episode where if you donate $5 or more over at patreon.com/ColePopture, you get to give us something to talk about. And this is the post-credits scene. Richard, who is it from and what does it say?
Today's one comes to us from Joshua Cole, who says, "Describe your perfect Sunday."
Now, my perfect Sunday, I did the joke. I used to hate Sundays because it was like school tomorrow. How miserable. Yeah. It just hangs over you the whole time. But then I grew up and stopped going to things any day, and now I sleep in every morning. And
yeah,
the concept of having a work-life balance is out the window. My perfect Sunday is like pretty stress-free, pretty
pretty stressful.
Maybe I'm hanging with my friends. Maybe I'm partaking in a little bit of that good
pussy.
Good pussy. This is what I meant. Yeah. And you, maybe we go somewhere. Maybe we do something. Yeah, that's my
favorite. Yeah, I think like mine would have to evolve an escape room. Love escape rooms. Did one last Sunday actually.
Wow.
We got out with less than a minute to spare. It was such bullshit. It was like the only one we've ever struggled with. And it was like for 10 minutes, first 10 minutes, we couldn't even like work out what to do. And it was like, it was essentially, there was this like nothing in the room that you could move. It was very small and then it opened up to other ones. And it was like, there was this button and it wasn't doing anything. And after like 10 minutes, we found out, oh, you just need to hold the button a little bit longer. And then it was like, we had like 8 minutes to go and we'd only just opened the like last room. So like a third of the room. And this was a 90 minute escape room as well. And literally we'd sort of given up and then we were like, oh no, like let's just keep doing it. And then we were like, fuck, surely there's only a little bit left. And then we found like the last little bit of the key, put it into the thing and yeah, had like 48 seconds to spare.
Wow. I've only ever done two escape rooms and I beat both of them.
Yeah, I've never lost an escape room. I can still say that.
I couldn't have done it alone, though. Some of those puzzles, like, I remember my friend solved one in a way that was like, Jesus Christ, that is just not how I think.
Yeah.
Like, I would have never solved this. And it wasn't even particularly cryptic. It was just, that's not how... It was like, there were like ropes and nubs hanging on the wall, and you had to make it spell the number 6.
Mm.
And so, therefore, you knew that 6 was the answer to something else. And he was trying to figure out what you could spell with these ropes, and I immediately dismissed it. I was like, it won't be that. That's stupid. Because I was like, why would you spell a number?
Yeah.
Like, you should write a number if it's a clue.
Yeah.
But he was right, so there you go.
Yeah. There's, an escape room. Probably go out to a nice dinner or something like that. Yeah, generally just like a pretty chill day. I get really like, I get antsy if I spend an entire day at home. Like I have to just go for a walk, even just like down to the end of the road, spin the Pokestop that's down there and come back. But it's like,
what's a Pokestop?
On Pokemon Go, they're like little markers, little landmarks.
Poke, not Pokey.
Pokemon. Pokemans.